Town of Garner Town Council meeting of January 7th, 2019.
Welcome, everyone. Thank you for being here.
I'm going to ask Mr. Ken Marshman to make a few comments.
I join the mayor and welcome you here this evening. It's with another sadness that we have an empty chair here this evening. Our fellow council member and good friend, Jackie Johns, passed away yesterday. We want to remember him this evening, and we'll do that in a variety of ways. But for now, we would ask you, if you would, to join us and stand, and we'll have a moment of silence in his honor. Okay, thank you very much. You may be seated. Mr. Mayor, you're going to do the pledge.
Third called roll.
You're going to do the pledge, man?
Yes.
You got the floor, go ahead.
Well, I should have asked you to be seated.
Well, stand again, please, and join me in the pledge of allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Now you may be seated.
You may be
I'm going to call the meeting in order. Ask the clerk to call the roll.
Mayor Williams?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Marshburn?
Present.
Councilmember Behringer?
Here.
Councilmember Kennedy?
Here.
And Councilmember Singleton?
Here.
Okay, petitions and comments. That's time on the agenda if anyone to address the council on an item not on the agenda tonight. If you wish to address the council, go to the podium, state your name and address. Hearing none, we will go to the adoption of the agenda. Mr. Mayor, I ordinarily would ask that we approve the consent agenda, but I didn't see any consent agenda first approved tonight. So
that's the agenda.
Excuse me?
The main agenda.
Okay. I'll move.
How about item M, that the council reports the discussion? Do we need to do that tonight?
I would say no, Mr. Kennedy.
Move to approve the agenda with the exception of removal of item M.
Second.
Motion made, second. All in favor, vote by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Adoption of the agenda.
Presentations.
Okay, any presentations? It's probably my fault. Can you hear me now? Okay. You've missed the petitions and comments. Do you wish to address the council on anything?
Petition council.
Address the council. Okay, we'll call on you later if you come up with anything. Okay, consent.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion made and second. All in favor, vote by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Public hearings.
Mr. Mayor, this is a matter where we have two conditional use rezoning and conditional use CUPs on the agenda tonight, and so I will make the standard comments that the attorney makes in cases of this sort to sort of tell the members, the persons present and parties present, sort of how we're going to work our way through these two cases. These are a type of case which is different from the ordinary proceedings before the town council. These are cases which the legislature and the appellate courts have determined to be quasi-judicial in nature. Quasi-judicial means sort of like a court, in the sense that there are issues involved with these permits where the proceeding is more confined than the ordinary, more broadly wide open zoning cases. Typically, what we will do in these two cases, and we're talking about, of course, the Minglewood case and the Aurora subdivision case. In these two cases, we'll start out by having a hearing on the subdivision, I mean, excuse me, on the rezoning issue. And a member of the planning staff will give the staff report on the rezoning application. Then the applicant will have an opportunity to make comments if it wishes on the rezoning part. Then the members of the public will be heard on the rezoning part. In each of these cases, following that, we will proceed to what is the part that is considered quasi-judicial. That is the hearing on the permit. And on the permit, the applicant, the staff will present the staff report. The applicant will present testimony in support of the permit. And the role of the members of the public is quite limited on the permit part, because testimony on a permit is typically expert testimony. Expert testimony being testimony based on specialized training in planning development, different land use issues, engineering, surveying, whatever. So basically, when you come up as a member of the public, if you have comments, it would be helpful if you try to make them all during the rezoning portion of the case. What we'll do, there's a couple other things we have to do. We will have to call those persons who plan to offer expert testimony in the permit application cases to come forward and be sworn. Okay. So if all of you would come forward here and let the clerk administer the oath. No one from the applicant?
From the
order? No, yeah, for both cases. Let's just get them both up here at one time.
The other case, they're sworn.
Oh, okay. Well, let's do Minglewood then. Let's get the witnesses sworn in Minglewood. Is anybody else who plans to give testimony on the permit in the Minglewood case? Have y'all signed? The other matter we have to discuss with the council as a result of state law is we have to inquire of members of the council whether any member of the council has had what is called an ex parte communication with any person representing the applicant or any opponent of this application. An ex parte communication, for the benefit of those of you in the audience, is a communication outside of this hearing room. And this is one of the other ways in which this permit proceeding is like a court proceeding. You don't just go in and talk to a judge about a case. You show up on a proper day at the hearing room in the courtroom and you talk to them then. So we'll ask the council member if anybody has had any ex parte communications, or if any of you have any previously formed opinions on the outcome of these permits that would prevent you from making a fair and honest decision. Anybody?
Hey, Mike. Everybody's clear.
Okay, we're ready to proceed, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, this is a public hearing. Het Patel and State the Article Towns position. I'll open the public hearing.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and Town Council members. My name is Het Patel. I'm the Senior Planner for Transportation and Land Use. I am going to present the conditional use rezoning part of Minglewood, and then Stacy will get into the subdivision plan review. The applicant for this project is Royal Oaks, a division of Mattamy Homes. The owner is Marjan LTD Cape Fear Properties Event NC LLC. And the location for the project is 2015 Aversboro Road. The parcel in question is a 14.92 acre site. This project went to the Planning Commission at their December 11th meeting, and we are here in front of you for hearing and action today. In regards to the site, as I mentioned, it is located along Aversboro Road, just north of Minglewood Drive and south of Timber Drive, just south of the Lowe's Food Shopping Complex and north of the Villages. Here is the street view of where the site is, a Google Street View. In regards to zoning and land use, as I mentioned, to the north, the zoning is community retail for the shops at Timber Landing. To the south, we have office and institutional for the Carillon Assisted Living Facility. To the east, we have MF2, which is the Villages at Aversboro. And to the west, we have community retail, which is vacant and undeveloped land. In regards to recent zoning history in the area, we have seen some zoning from R40 to R12, R40 to R12, other zoning from office and institutional to multifamily, which was the Ball Rentals along Aversboro Road. In regards to the overall neighborhood character, we've been doing this for the recent planning cases that have come through, providing a subdivision analysis of other subdivisions within the area of the rezoning. And so if you look at the subdivisions in this area, the density ranges from about 2.12 to 3.94, with the Villages at Aversboro being the highest. And the average heated square footage ranges from about 1410 to 2575 square feet, and then the average total assessed value ranges from anywhere from 127,623 to 308,457. The proposed project density for this project is at 6.43 units per acre. The existing zoning classification for the site is both community retail and office and institutional, and the requested zoning classification is multifamily one with conditions. The MF1 zoning district is designed to create and maintain higher density residential neighborhoods composed primarily of multifamily dwellings. The proposed use for this is a townhome residential subdivision. So I've highlighted the MF1 uses. This is the entire list of uses allowed in MF1, but since this is a conditional use rezoning, the proposed uses within this condition have been narrowed down to just townhomes and condominiums. Additionally, the applicant has identified the following conditions for the townhome development. Any form of group living protected by the state or federal statutes for use within single-family dwellings shall be permitted according to the specific use standards of the Garner UDO. Individual units shall be combined in buildings not to exceed 6 units per building. The front facade of each unit as well as the side facade of each end unit shall be finished with at least 2 of the following materials: stone, brick, board, and batten siding, horizontal siding or shakes. And in addition, shutters will be included on the windows for the side facades. Except for 1 unit per building, the front facade of all units shall be minimally finished with the equivalent of an 18-inch high masonry wainscoting. All vinyl siding shall be minimum gauge of 0.045. Except for 1 unit per building, all units will utilize an articulation of at least 1 dormer or front-facing gable. The side elevations of each end unit shall feature at least 2 glazed elements. The maximum density shall be no greater than 7.4 units per acre. All units shall contain a minimum of 1,387 square feet of heated gross floor area with a minimum of 1 car garage. Every garage door shall feature either a carriage or decorative hardware or glazed panels. At least 1 pedestrian access will be provided on the northern adjacent property, An undisturbed buffer of at least 35 feet shall be provided along the eastern property line, which is shared with the villages at Aversboro. And the development shall include an outdoor community gathering space comprising of an area of at least 920 square feet, of which at least 155 square feet will be landscaped and also contain minimally a pergola, four park benches, and sidewalks connecting the pergola to the rest of the sidewalk network. In regards to traffic, the site has approximately 840 feet of frontage along Aversboro Road. Aversboro Road is a 33-foot NCDOT maintained facility within an 80-foot right-of-way. And the NCDOT average daily traffic count history on Aversboro in the area ranges from about 8,300 to 8,700 if you look at the last 5-6 years. In regards to the 2018 Garner Forward Comprehensive Plan, the future land use map identifies this site along Aversboro Road as office center. Usually the office center land use category may have multiple non-government tenants occupying a single building, adjacent spaces, or separate buildings accessed by one or two driveways from an arterial road. Since this road rezoning is to multifamily one, which is a request of 6.43 units per acre, the requested zoning district is inconsistent with the office center designation of the 2018 Garner Forward Conference Plan. Therefore, a comp plan amendment will be required to amend the site to high density residential. The high density residential category includes single family, duplex, triplex, quadplex, and townhome style residences at a density of no less than 5 units per acre. And just wanted to highlight MF1 gross density could be 9.35 units per acre, and the project density, again, is 6.43 units per acre. Additionally, looking at the Garner Forward Comprehensive Plan, we also did some analysis on looking at living spaces guiding principles that have been identified in Garner Forward. So looking at the guiding principles, this project would be applicable to two of them, which is attracting young and old populations, as well as refocusing on our centers, including downtown Garner and North Garner. And in terms of the recommendations in that housing section of the comprehensive plan, it would be applicable to preserving and protecting Garner's existing housing stock, as well as increasing the affordable housing in Garner. In regards to zoning consistency, the requested zoning from community retail and ONI to MF1 C208 is inconsistent with the 2018 Garner Forward Comprehensive Plan's future land use designation of office center. However, the MF1 C208 zoning district is consistent with surrounding and directly adjacent zones, MF2, community retail, and ONI, and supports the following principles and recommendations for living spaces. The proposed district permits a higher level of residential density that can directly support and provide focus for the adjacent activity center around the intersection of Timber Drive and Aversboro Road. The proposed district permits household living uses that are attractive to younger populations who are first-time buyers, as well as older residents looking to downsize and minimize maintenance responsibilities. The proposed district provides adequate buffers that help to preserve and protect the adjacent housing stock, and the proposed district permits uses that are currently being constructed and sold in the area at a price point of $200,000 that may be affordable to those making 80% of the current Wake County median household income. I will pause here for any questions related to zoning as well as...
At this time, if the applicant has any comments to make on the zoning part of this application, it'd be a good time to come forward. We'll hear from the applicant. Anyone has any questions of the applicant? Were you sworn?
No.
Did you give testimony?
I didn't
know if I did. Okay. Well, does anyone have any questions of the applicant? We can have her sworn if you do. Okay, go ahead. Okay, does any members of the public want to be heard on these zoning applications?
I'm
sorry, I thought you said you were a member of the applicant.
No,
okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Members of the public can come forward. If no one from the applicant wants to testify, it's where to get the proper order while we speak. Yeah. Sounds like it's mine, but I'm trying to get us through this.
My name's Sarah Spade. I live at 207 Summers Walk Circle, which is just down the road. I have a question about traffic lights and trash and speed along that road and how it will be affected and changed. I noticed the traffic count stopped at 2017, and at the time, at the end of 2017, since then, we've added the YMCA, which is directly across from the property. And I would say that traffic has significantly increased as a result of that. And fortunately, I'm retired, and I don't have to go out at 8 o'clock to get out at 8 in the morning. So I'm wondering how that's going to be addressed.
Anyone else may come forward, please.
Good evening. My name is John Pickle. I live at 148 Easy Wind Lane. I'm here on behalf of the Board of Directors of the Village of Abbotsboro. Very early on in this process, prior to us even knowing this proposal was being considered, the developer and the engineering company reached out to us. We got together on numerous occasions. They made a very detailed presentation of what they were considering. And they very much welcomed any interest or questions or concerns that we might have. Well, we went back and forth over several meetings. All were handled very professionally and very transparent. We made several suggestions to the developer. Just about every single one of those suggestions were implemented in their final proposal. So at this point, given the way this procedure was handled, we and the Village of Abbotsboro and the Board of Directors have no opposition to this plan, and we frankly look forward to being good neighbors. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
We can now proceed to the subdivision review then. And this is the part of the case that's quasi-judicial.
It's a little tall for me, but I'm not going to try to move it down again, given what happened the last time I tried to do that. So I might have to stand on my tippy toes for part of it. But again, this is 14.92 plus or minus acres with 96 townhome units. The lot size in the townhome section is 6,000 for the first unit and then 4,500 square feet for each additional unit. There's 10% open space required. You see there 1.49 acres, and they have provided almost 13% at nearly 2 acres there. The Parks, Recreation, and Cultural Resources Department did recommend a fee in lieu of parkland dedication for this site. There is no FEMA floodplain, as you can see on the site. This site is subject to stormwater quality regulations for nitrogen as well as quantity regulations for detention of the 1, 10, 25, and 100-year storms. There's one wet retention pond that you'll see on the site plan, and that treats both quantity and quality. And the stormwater control measures will reduce the nitrogen below the allowable threshold of the 6 pounds per acre per year. For utilities, you see it will be served by the City of Raleigh Water and Sewer. The connection to the water is through the existing line that you see in Minglewood there, highlighted in blue. And the sanitary sewer connection is made via a manhole on the northeast corner of the property. As far as the infrastructure, there's two driveways along Minglewood. One is a full access driveway. The other will be for right-in, right-out movement only. Minglewood is going to be widened to provide a right turn lane onto Abbotsboro as well. The developer would be responsible for construction of a 49-foot back-to-back section along the project's frontage along Abbotsboro. and the internal streets will be public and dedicated to the town. There you see the site plan with your... with your access points along Minglewood there at the two points there. And your stormwater device is in this corner here. There is a walking trail around the stormwater device. And then there is a pedestrian connection from this development over to the shopping center right there as well. The lighting proposed for the subdivision was done by Duke Energy and does conform to the UDO and for staff's policy recommendations for LED fixtures. And the Garner Ford Transportation Plan identifies this stretch of Avisboro Road as a three-lane facility. With the proposed improvements along the front edge on Avisboro Road, this project, as proposed, may be found in conformance with the 2018 Garner Ford Transportation Plan. For conformity with the Parks, Rec, Open Space, and Greenways Master Plan, there was no recommendation for that plan in this general vicinity. Therefore, combined with the fee in lieu of the parkland dedication, this can be found in conformance with the Parks and Rec, Open Space, and Greenways Master Plan. And after sufficient review and plan revision, staff does find that this project, as now proposed, conforms to the regulations of the Unified Development Ordinance, so long as the site-specific conditions are met. And there's the three site-specific conditions that are also in your report. I can go back to the site plan in case you have any questions. I'll be happy to answer, or the applicant is here as well.
Anybody have a question?
Harper, could you, I was looking at specific conditions. Then earlier, Het had mentioned about 14 conditions. What were those conditions compared to these? It's my ignorance on it. Not that anybody's made a mistake. Just
no,
help me understand
absolutely.
It.
These three are just about the site plan itself. The other ones are zoning conditions that Het mentioned.
Could you, in this section, respond to the lady's question about that would involve traffic analysis?
I can't, but Het can. We can have him come back up.
So the at the lot size that this development's project or proposed, it would not have triggered a UDO TIA within our UDO, which is normally 100 trips in a peak hour or 1,000 trips daily. This development would probably be maybe 80, maybe a little less than that in the peak hour. In terms of trips. And we've also completed, kind of outside of this, we've completed an analysis of roads along the southeast Garner town limits, looking at capacity as well as the AADTs that are available to us. I understand 2017 is the data that we are working with because that's the latest NCDOT published data. We don't have data that's any more newer than that. But in 2017, at that 8,700 mark, Avisboro Road is at about 0.75 volume capacity, which means during peak hours, you're likely to see some slight delays, but it's not significant enough to be throughout the entire day. And with its capacity, as well as with the improvements that happen as development occurs with the widenings along the front edge of most of the developments that we ask for, it is typically going to increase your capacity on the roadway as well. So we're roughly probably, if I did the calculations correctly, I did it just very fast, at least another 5,000 daily trips before you get to a volume capacity ratio of 1 on Avisboro Road, which would mean that there's more significant delays during peak hours.
And how many trips a day were projected out of this development?
Here, let me do that real quick.
Okay.
About 670.
Clarify one thing. Is the entrance on Inglewood, is that directly across from the Y, or is that up at Old Scarborough Lane?
The entrance is a little bit north of the Y, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Because the entrance is just at Inglewood Drive, so it's north of the Y.
Thank you.
Mr. Patel, I think I understand this. Will all ingress and egress to this development be off of Inglewood? There will not be any direct access to Avisboro Road, is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. There's not.
They will be building, they will be constructing a right turn lane from Inglewood on Avisboro.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I drive to that intersection every day at about 6:40.
He would need to come up.
Sir, can come to the podium. We need to get you recorded.
Hi, my name's Mark Yerk. I live in Heatherwood. I go through the intersection of Timber Drive and Avisboro every morning at 6:45, and I think there's some thing about this traffic is a very good question, because not only is it the Y has opened up, they finished the renovations of the senior high, and it's an extreme flood of people coming up Avisboro Road in the morning. And it backs up all the way from Timber Drive up to the driveway going into Lowe's Food. And it never did that before, and it's been happening in the last 6 months. So I don't think it's all being accounted for how that everything's built up so close to that intersection up there. It's congested. And I think it's going to be a lot of delays myself. Thank you.
Well, I think actually there are two things. One thing, if you're on Inglewood and turning onto Avisboro, you're impacting traffic. And two, if you've ever tried to make a left turn onto Avisboro out of Lowe's Food, almost at any time of day, it's almost impossible without getting hit or worried about it. And we've got Walgreens that faces that approach as well, and we're going to be adding more people south of that intersection who are going to be wanting to make a left turn.
Good evening, Mayor and Town Council. I'm Jeff Swain, and I reside at 263 Shady Hollow Lane in the village of Avisboro. And you know I've served on the Planning Commission for 6 years until June 30th of this year. I guess I just have a point of order. Bill Anderson very clearly went through the whole process of who speaks at what time and during the public hearings, and I thought that during this portion, testimony was only taken from experts. And I'm not disrespecting the last two speakers, but have they been sworn in as experts? Because I thought at this time is when you hear from experts. So that's just my point of order.
In the perfect world, everybody would speak at the right time. Mr. Swain, I agree with you. These folks have given lay testimony, which is not really admissible on the permit issue. And so that's the answer to that. Anyone else wish to testify? I believe you can close the hearing, Mr. Mayor.
All right, I'm going to close the hearing and ask for a motion. If you're ready to do so. Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make one quick comment. I'm sensitive to the concern about the traffic because I travel that road every day. I live just beyond the villages there myself. And I go to the Lowe's area to get gas on a regular basis. And you're right, it's tough to get out of there. But if we held up all development in this town because of some traffic issues, we'd be, I guess, sued thrice over many other times. Since I've been living in the area, I've always known that that property was going to be developed in some shape or fashion. I know there was concern some time ago, maybe as much as a year ago or more, about another potential proposal for this property. I appreciate what Mr. Pickle has said this evening, that the folks at the village have had good interactions with this developer, and it's my understanding that any number of improvements or revisions have been made. In my view, this proposal is probably the best use of this property. We don't have a solution for the traffic at the present time. That's true not only here, but in other areas of our town. Some of those things we have some control over. Some of it has to do with the funding we get from NCDOT. So having said those things, I'm going to vote to approve this particular project because I think it meets all of our criteria and is probably the best outcome for this particular property in my view.
The motion.
Let me find my motion. I don't have it in front of me, Mr. Mayor. Let me find that. Or if some other council member wants to make a motion, if they're inclined to.
I'll give us a whirl there, Mr. Mayor. If I get the right ordinance number, because it's a dandy. Yeah, here. That's much to say now. If I get the right ordinance number. Thank you, Mr. Kennedy's got it. Mr. Mayor, I move that we, the town council, accept staff statements in regarding zoning consistency with the comprehensive growth plan detailed in section 5 of this report as our own. I therefore move further that the town council accept the recommendations of the planning commission and adopt ordinance 2019-3943 approving the rezoning request number CUDZ-1809.
Second. Motion. Second. Further discussion.
Second, if you don't mind. On your concerns about traffic, I live right off Buffalo Road, so I drive to that intersection daily and half. I lived in Garner since 1964. So where Summers Walk is, I remember was Woods. Where Heather's Woods is, I remember was Woods. Where the village is with the big horse barn with the farm and horses. And part of Buffalo Road was gravel. And Lake Vincent Park was a strawberry farm and a hog farm. So I've seen a lot of changes over the years. Mr. Patel mentioned a traffic study. He made a presentation to some folks that live in the village, including Mr. Pickle, and I was at that meeting. And the DOT gives out traffic information every other year, so it came out. The staff got it, I think, in October of this year for 2017, and the intersection shows 8,700 cars. Daily trips. What's interesting is the intersection of Buffalo and Avisboro, which everybody, I think, thought was the breakpoint for people cutting through, was only 3,000, 3,100, 3,200. So the traffic goes from 3,200 at Buffalo and Avisboro to 8,700 at the intersection. And the average daily trips of most single-family homes are 10. So if you take Automotive, Summers Walk, and the Village, and Heather Woods, and Dunhaven, and multiply it by 10, it's about 5,500 to 6,000 trips. That's the number of trips. Most of the traffic that dumps there comes from the neighborhood, and it's a short distance back to their homes. And the intersection can be challenging, the gentleman mentioned in the morning. I took my kids to school, and the traffic's been backed up there, turned left for years, off and on. But go out there now, there's no traffic. It's 7:40 at night. Traffic in the morning will be traffic in the afternoon. It's not going to go away. It's just not. A lot of traffic's commuter traffic. And, you know, this isn't Mayberry anymore. I hate to say that, but it's, you know, I'd say I grew up here when there were horse farms and strawberry farms and hog farms down there. It's just not that anymore. Traffic's a concern. Your point about turning left is a very good point because I have bit my tongue more than once. However, by making the street improvements here, it should make it clear to see the traffic. That ought to help. That'd be one of the best things that ever happened is you can see the traffic better with these street improvements. Correct, staff? They'll make the improvements on the front of Avisboro Road, and it should make it easier to see the car traffic coming because it is a pain in the butt to see an afternoon left. I agree with you 100%. But that driveway is challenging, that's saying the least. So your points are all well taken about the traffic. We all have heard that and know the concern, but we also know by the numbers that most of the traffic is neighborhood traffic, and it goes a short distance. That's the one plus. And the Y has added some more traffic, but it hadn't been, I don't think, the problem that some people perceived it may have been at one time. That traffic's all spread out through the day. So, we have a motion and a second.
Yeah.
Mr. Pickle mentioned this earlier in his presentation, but I don't think it needs to go under the radar. The development of this property has been under consideration for now it's into years instead of months, and it most of the time things get on a pretty much of a fast track basis. But it should not go unnoticed, and not that by the simple fact that the cooperation shown by the leadership from the village, because you've got good leadership there, that they've asked plenty of questions. By the same token, from the development side, it's revised plans, it's addressed the issues. Most of the time, issues when you get to this point, we're left to decide what seems like a tilted scale. And I'm not living in La La Land to expect that everybody's going to be totally happy. But I do appreciate the efforts that were made from the development side to recognize the issues that are of concern to the residents that are there. And that makes for good local government and people that that can live together and work together, because there will be other issues that come down the road. Thank you all for the work that you put into it to make this, bring it forward to tonight.
Mr. Mayor, before there's a formal second and a vote on this, Mr. Patel would like to make a couple of comments to help the council work through this zoning worksheet.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask for a friendly amendment from Mr. Singleton on the worksheet. I think one of the things that I mentioned in the rezoning part of the motion was that it was inconsistent with the comp plan. So if you were to look at your page 18, number 3, finding...
Gotcha. Okay, so I need to mark that as inconsistent with the comprehensive plan and approve what I mentioned earlier, specifically ordinance number 2019-3943, which is rezoning request CUDZ 1809.
And a comp plan amendment simultaneously.
Comp plan amendment simultaneously.
And some reasons from page 2 back there.
And that this proposed rezoning is reasonable and in the public interest because it will likely allow a development of an appropriate density of housing in the area which is located. Therefore, I move to adopt the ordinance that I previously stated, 2019-3943, approving the rezoning request CUDZ 1809, and in doing so, also amend the town's comprehensive growth plan from designating the subject property as office center to multifamily, high density residential.
Second. On my original second, may I make one additional comment regarding that, Mayor?
Yes, sir.
When we approved the comp plan in 2018, question was raised about this particular development. Knowing at the time that previously there had been a request for rezoning, we considered trying to guess what the request for rezoning may be or not be. And rather than taking a wild guess then, we decided leave it where it was and then address the issue when it came back before us, because we were going to be second guessing what folks were going to do, and we simply did not know. We had good reason to believe that we were going to be doing exactly this and having to amend the comp plan post the initial adoption, but I hope it doesn't come across that we weren't aware of what was going on. We just had to wait and let things progress, and then we take care of it when it presented itself and it came to maturity. Thank you.
Any further? There's a motion, second on the floor. All in favor, vote by saying aye.
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 Opposed. We have a second matter that's on for similar combined hearings is this application where I believe the people who would be needing to be sworn in this were out in the hall when we called it. So I'll ask if anybody who
plans to give testimony on the quasi-judicial part of the Aurora matter would come forward and be sworn at this time. There they are. Yeah, Brian Ray.
They didn't do a motion.
We haven't done the CUP yet.
Oh, yeah.
CUP.
Yeah, we haven't ruled on that yet. Okay, sorry. Yeah, Brian Ray.
I'm here
for Brian Ray. Right, right. Yeah, right, right. Yeah. Well, I'll call you up when you get to it. After the clerk swears the witnesses here, we have one more matter to take care of on the Minglewood case.
Mr. Mayor, we need a motion on a conditional use permit action for the Minglewood project. We just the conditional zoning. We haven't done the CUP yet. Mr. Kim is ready.
I move we adopt CUP SB 1805 Minglewood Town Homes conditional use permit application being complete, compliance with ordinance requirements. Grant the application subject to the three standard conditions and three conditions specific to this project.
Second. Motion made and seconded. Further discussion? All in favor, vote by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Mr. Mayor, sorry I jumped the gun on this, but now it's appropriate to call for hearing the conditional use rezoning CUDZ 1811 and conditional use subdivision CUP SB 1808, Aurora subdivision. Okay. I'm going to open the public hearing. Call Mr. Patel.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and council members. I'm here to present the conditional use rezoning for Aurora subdivision, and then Stacy will again do the presentation on the subdivision plan review. The applicant for this project is Bass Nixon Kennedy, Inc. The owners are Charles W. and Ruby B. Rora. The location for the site is 8100 Bryan Road and 8110 Bryan Road. The parcel in question is a 59.40-acre tract. This project also went to the Planning Commission at their December 11th meeting, and we are here today for public hearing and action on this project. In regards to location, as I mentioned, it is located along Bryan Road, right where Ackerman Road ends into Bryan Road, just south of Tallowood Drive and north of Elkstone Trail. Here's a street view, Google Street View, of where the site is located. Mm-hmm. In regards to adjacent zoning and land use, to the north, we have R12, which is Everglade subdivision, R40, which is single-family detached. To the south, we have R15, which is the Sutton Springs subdivision. To the east, PRD C1, which is Bingham Station subdivision, and RMH, which is Manufactured Home Park. To the west, we have R9, the Glens at Bethel subdivision, ONI, which is the Belrose Nursing and Rehab Facility, and R40, which is single-family detached. In regards to zoning history in the area, we've had quite a lot of rezoning that is mostly residential, from R40 to more intensive uses, including R12, R15, R9, and PRD developments. Similarly to the previous report, we did a subdivision analysis of subdivisions in the area of this proposed development. The range of density goes from 0.86 to 3.06, and the average heated square footage is anywhere between 1993 to 3282, and the average total assessed value ranges from $191,000 roughly to about $340,000. The proposed project density for this subdivision is 1.78 units per acre. The existing zoning classification, as I mentioned, is R40. The R40 district allows single-family lots of at least 40,000 square feet, and there's a small sliver of it, which is PRD from the Bingham Station rezoning. The requested zoning classification is single-family 9 with conditions. The R9 zoning district is primarily a residential district allowing single-family lots of at least 9,000 square feet, and the proposed use is a single-family residential subdivision. The R9 uses are highlighted here. This includes all the range of R9 uses that can be allowable, but with this being a conditional use, the R9 C210 district would only allow the following 5 uses: single-family detached, residential cluster, single-family residential subdivision, child daycare up to 3, and family child daycare up to 8 in home. Additionally, the applicant has identified the following conditions on the zoning, which is any form of group living protected by state or federal statute for use in single-family dwellings shall be permitted according to the specific use standards of the Garner UDO. Each house will have a minimum of 2,100 square feet of heated floor space. Each house will have a minimum of 2-car garage. Each house will have a screened porch, unheated sunroom, deck, or concrete patio of 120 square feet minimum. Each home will be constructed of hardy plank, masonry, brick or stone, or vinyl siding, minimum gauge of 0.045 on at least 80% of each side. Each house must have a turned down monolithic slab or stem wall foundation with a minimum of 12 inches of brick, stone, veneer on front and sides. If the builder elects to use brick stone veneer on the front foundation wall only, then the builder shall provide landscaping along sides approved by the town of Garner. Each house will have 30-year architectural shingles, and outdoor community gathering space will be provided with a minimum of 20,000 square feet and will include 4 benches. Each house will have a carriage hardware or windows on the garage doors. And where abutting single-family rear lot lines occur internal to the subdivision, a planted landscape buffer will be provided along the rear property line of the abutting lots. The landscape buffer will be a total of 8 feet wide, 4 feet on each side of the property line, and consisting of a mixture of trees and shrubs. In regards to traffic, the site has approximately 1,100 feet of frontage along Bryan Road. Bryan Road is a 22-foot wide NCDOT maintained facility within a 60-foot right-of-way. The average daily traffic count along Bryan Road in this area has been about 1,300, 1,400 in the last 4 or 5 years. In regards to the Garner Forward Comprehensive Plan, on the future land use map, the site along Bryan Road is designated as medium density residential. The medium density residential land use category includes single family, duplex, triplex, quadplex, and townhome style residences with no less than 2.5 nor more than 5 units per acre. The R9 gross density that the site could be developed at would be 4.84 units, but the proposed project density is 1.78 units per acre because if there's some environmental constraints on the site, which Stacy will get into when she does her report. In regards to looking at the housing and living arrangement principles and recommendations from the COP plan, again, in guiding principles, this project would be applicable to attracting young and old populations as well as anticipating the redevelopment surge. And in terms of the recommendations, it would be applicable towards preserving and protecting Garner's existing housing stock. So the requested zoning from single-family residential R40 and planning residential development PRD C1 to a single-family residential conditional use district of R9 C210 is consistent with the 2018 Garner Forward Comprehensive Plan as the maximum density of 4.84 falls within the recommended range of the future land use map, and it supports the following principles and recommendations of the living spaces within comp plan. The proposed district permits household living and supporting daycare uses that are attractive to younger families and with children, as well as older residents looking to maintain private but smaller outdoor spaces. The proposed district permits redevelopment of existing low-density uses dependent on well and septic systems that necessitate the set-aside of unusable open space, and the proposed district provides adequate buffers and usable open spaces that help to preserve and protect adjacent housing stock. And that's it from the rezoning side of the staff report. I'm here to answer any questions as well as the applicant.
Okay, good.
You streamlined it like we requested.
We're trying.
now we can play catch up. The density is 1.74?
1.78.
78. That's 106 units and 59 acres.
Yep.
There's a lot of, and then there's a lot of open space on this property.
Yeah, I think Stacy will get into it a little bit more, but it's, I think, over 50% is open space. And a lot of that is because some of the environmental features that are on the property.
Oh, yeah. Yes. But generally, the lot sizes are the 6,000 square feet?
9,000.
9,000. And how does that compare with, what's the one right across, right up Ackerman on the left? Ackerman.
Sorry, so it is a cluster development, so it is actually 6,000 square feet. 9,000 is what would be allowed in the zoning, but since it is a cluster development, the lot sizes are 6,000.
Yeah, I was looking at hop communities. That's
The ones across, don't know if Bingham Station is 6,000 as well. It's about 6,000, 7,000 square feet.
Okay. Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay, this is a public hearing.
Anyone from the applicant wish to speak on the rezoning part of the case right now?
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and members of the council. My name is Marty Bizzle. I'm here representing tonight MI Homes, the developer. The owners, Mr. and Ms. Aurora, are here as well. The project or the conditions as presented on the rezoning by staff, we fully agree with those and accept those conditions. I really don't have a lot more to add to the rezoning. We can talk a lot about the site plan, which is very intermingled with this, the rezoning and the conditions. But with that, I just want to let you know we are here and be happy to answer any questions.
This is probably getting ahead of the rezoning, but I'll ask you if I'm not out of order. Have you developed similar projects like this in the area? That's sort of a curiosity question I think it's interesting to know what other developments have going on, and sometimes to look at the others and compare what you're proposing here.
My firm, Bassix & Kennedy, has been in business now. Next year, this year will be 50 years. We've done a number of projects in and around the Garner area. We have not worked with MI Homes in Garner before. I guess most recently a project we did was R9, was Preakness Place over on New Rand Road. That was approved a few years ago. It's now basically complete.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else? That's good. Thank you.
All right. We have members of the public. I know this gentleman here, I'm very patient. If you'd like to come up, and there may be some other folks.
My name is Brett Mazinga. I live at Sutton Springs, adjacent to this project. Can we go back to the assessed value of the homes in Sutton Springs? Now, where it says, when was this assessment done?
This is just the City of Raleigh or Wake County parcel data. So it's just taking the tax assessed value plus the land value, and it's the total assessed value from the parcel data. I'm assuming it's from, in the last month.
In the last month. Well, from my observation, I live in Sutton Springs. There's nothing for sale under $400,000. And I don't know what appraisal value or assessment value.
This is assessment value, not set market value. This is assessment value, which is totally, they do it a certain way. And usually you can say the selling price is 30% or more higher. That's a good thing. But they assess it at a certain, based on a schedule that the county has. And that's how they do it. And that usually the market price and the assessment price in a rural area like this are not in the same ballpark.
Okay.
Usually you can get a lot more than what is assessed for. Yes, sir. You're correct.
Another issue is the traffic problem, of course. You know, we go out the Elstone and Bryan to go out to the shopping center. And how many homes are going to be put in that site proposed?
106.
106. An average home is 2 cars per family, right? It's just going to be a nightmare. And plus, you got a brand new school back there. So I just think there's a better use for this land than putting another subdivision. We're surrounded by subdivisions. It used to be a nice country, but if you don't watch out, Garner is going to turn into Cary, North Carolina. I've lived there. Thank you.
Excuse me, sir. Could you spell your name for the clerk?
BRETTMOZINGO.
Thanks, sir. Buck, you got a question?
Yes, not this gentleman. What's been the, do we have any idea of the number of homes that were in this that are being moved out and displaced?
I was going to say that. So the site is developed as a mobile home park, and there's, I think, approximately 40. I don't know the exact number, but at least 40 mobile home park there. So there would be displacement of traffic there from whatever's existing. And since this is 106 single family, they were asked to do a TIA, which Stacy will get into. They did a traffic impact analysis, which incorporated the improvements that we might be making at White Oak, Ackerman, Hebron Church, Roundabout, and has been sent to the DOT as well for their review.
One point, I don't know if you're aware of, but a roundabout has been designed and its process, as Mr. Patel touched on, for the intersection of Ackerman, Hebron Church Road, and White Oak, and a roundabout to help traffic flow, keep traffic moving on a consistent basis so we won't have to stop signs and stop lights. It's in process of being designed in cooperation with the town, the state, and the capital area metropolitan planning organization to fund that and get that constructed. And I think it's approved sometime this year. Construction could start
in
2020. In October.
Well, in October we could start the project, so we could start right away acquisition and go into construction and hopefully the following spring.
Yes. And so
At Ackerman, Hebron Church, and White Oak. So on the other side. On the other.
And White Oak, yes, sir. Cleaning up that convoluted intersection. Yes, sir. Two lane roundabout. We've had a public meeting, public hearings, the public invited for that process over the last year. It's been talked about here. We've had public meetings here at Town Hall. And that's it's like a very good alternative. But also keep traffic moving on White Oak. White Oak will not stop at a stoplight. Traffic, White Oak will have a free flow lane flowing in from Johnson County just to help keep traffic flowing. Yes. I know all about it because I took my son for 2 years down to South Norman School every day, so I know all about it. I would go that way, and I would also go down 50 to see the traffic. That's why I know a roundabout is a wonderful solution, could be potentially a wonderful solution, because that's a really convoluted intersection. That's a nice thing, a nice word I can use. But it is signalized.
A blessing from heaven to get that back.
This will make going on Akron a whole lot easier with the roundabout. And the goal one day will be, if this project is approved, that'll extend Akron. The goal one day, not anytime soon, but the goal one day will take Akron to 50. That'll be a goal. You just have to cross over a creek, which is a lot of money for a bridge. But that's a goal one day. But that's, the roundabout is a very short range goal that hopefully will happen in the next couple of years. It'll be open. It'll help traffic flow.
Last question. In my opinion, I think this development.
Yes, sir. In Wake County, and you can have to have an assessment expert here, but in Wake County, there's not much bringing house values down. Out on Durant Road, North Raleigh, they built a whole several subdivisions and a park on top of a landfill. And the house itself were $500,000. It was a landfill when Wake County was not, Raleigh was not that far north. It did not bring values down, it shot them up. And I hope this subdivision will not hurt your land, will not hurt your cause.
I mean, this would be the last drop.
Economic pressures is the marketplace. It's not, with Raleigh getting named last week, the number one place to do, I can't remember how many things had on this, build a house, start a business, raise a family, go to a park, walk down the street, every kind of thing you can think of, they're number one or number two in. And Timber Drive goes straight into downtown Raleigh, which is not only one of the hottest real estate markets in the state, in the southeastern United States, and Timber Drive will take you there in just a few minutes. And so, therefore, the development's coming right down the road and the surrounding areas. And I remember when Sutton Springs wasn't there where you live. I remember when it wasn't there. And it's all, that was the first one out there. I remember Mr. Roy has lived out there, known him for a long time. He's lived out there for many, many years. Yeah. Well, I can recall on Bryan Road.
Anybody else from the public wish to be heard?
Good evening. My name is Damian Dellinger. I live at 1311 Sycamore Drive. And I just have a general question on the measurements the Planning Committee does, because looking at some of the maps that have been published, there are about 600 units or homes going in within about a mile radius of this particular development. And I'm just curious, on the traffic flow analyses that are done, are they doing sort of composite analyses on all these coming online, or are they looking at them piecemeal, one at a time, saying, well, this one's not going to significantly increase, this one's not going to significantly increase. But when you have this number of units coming on, how are they aggregating for the traffic downstream? That's all.
So normally whenever a traffic impact analysis is required for a development, we always start by looking at other planned developments in that area. That goes into their background data, and they also take into account when those developments are projected to come online based on the TIAs that they completed. So it is a composite data that goes into each TIA leading up to the other one. So in their background data, they do account for the other TIAs that were completed in that area, as well as a annual 3% growth rate as well. So they've accounted for all of that when they do the TIA.
Anyone else?
or be able to move to the plan.
This subdivision is approximately 59.4 acres with 106 dwelling units, as we've said. Minimum lot size is 6,000 square feet because it is a cluster subdivision. There's 25% open space required due to it being a cluster, and they have provided almost 52%. So about 30 acres of this site, given the environmental constraints, has remained in open space. And the Parks, Recreation, and Cultural Resources Department recommended a fee in lieu of parkland dedication in this area as well. There you'll see all of the FEMA floodplain, which is in green, and the floodway that is in blue. So there is a good amount of environmental going on this site. The site is subject to stormwater quality regulations for nitrogen as well as quantity regulations for the 1, 10, and 25-year storms. The site does have three stormwater devices, which brings the nitrogen export down below the 3.6 pounds per acre per year, so no offset payment is required in this case. The site will be served by City of Raleigh water and sewer infrastructure, which connecting to the existing water line in Bryan Road and the sanitary sewer through the outfall south of the property. For roads and sidewalks, the developer will be responsible for half of a 49-foot back-to-back roadway section along Bryan Road, and the Ackerman Road extension will be built to NCDOT standards with a 49-foot back-to-back section. The other internal streets will be built to public standards and dedicated to the town. Again, going over the TIA that Het was referencing, and based on the data and the assumptions provided in the TIA, the development is anticipated to generate 1,098 daily trips, which break down from the AM and peak hour, AM peak hour and PM peak hour, 80 a.m. and 107 p.m. The following improvements were identified and recommended to accommodate the development traffic for the site access driveways. The northbound turn lane with 50 feet of storage with taper at Bryan and site driveway 2. A northbound left turn lane, 50 feet of storage with taper at Bryan Road and Ackerman, which is site driveway 1. And a southbound left turn lane, 75 feet of storage with a taper at Bryan and Ackerman at site driveway 1. This is a large site, so it is a little smaller scale there, but you see the overall plan, and you'll see the three stormwater devices, one in the northwest corner here, one in the northeast quadrant, and then one in the south. And I want to point out something kind of unique on this parcel with these circles, in case if you've looked at the site plan and didn't know what the circles were. Those are rather large trees that are being preserved that the developer did want to preserve in this case. So there's quite a few of those big trees that they are preserving. And there is a greenway easement that goes along the northern, well, actually there, through the northern portion of the property with a greenway trail going through there as well. The lighting proposed by Duke Energy conforms to the UDO standards and for the policy recommendations for LED fixtures. The Garner Forward Transportation Plan does not provide any recommendations for Bryan Road. The 2018 plan did identify the extension of Ackerman West to NC50. So the 2010 Garner Transportation Plan identified Bryan as a three-lane road. With the proposed improvements along the front edge of Bryan Road, which is widened asphalt, curb, gutter, and sidewalk, and the extension of Ackerman through this project, this project, as proposed, may now be found in conformity with the 2018 Garner Forward Transportation Plan. Again, a review of the Parks and Rec Open Space and Greenways Master Plan did reveal a plan recommendation for a greenway connection in this area, but it does fall outside of the target acquisition area, but they have dedicated a public greenway easement, and so now, as proposed, this may be found in conformance with the Parks and Rec Open Space and Greenways Master Plan. Staff does find that after sufficient review and plan revisions that this plan is now proposed conforms to the UDO, so long as the site-specific conditions are met. There's four of them. They're the four site-specific, which three of those are pretty standard, plus the petition for annexation should be filed prior to final plat approval. The Planning Commission did confirm staff's findings that the plan was in conformity with adopted town plans and policies, and further accepted the staff statements regarding zoning consistency with the comprehensive growth plan as their own and recommended approval. I did want to point out, you do have a new report at your seats that was put there today. That does reflect the updated conditions that Het spoke about in his portion of the presentation. But we did put those at your seat because you did not receive all of those on a hard copy when the agendas went out earlier. So that's why you have an extra report at your place. But I'll be happy to answer any site plan questions, and the applicant and developer are here as well.
I have one, I think. Thank you for your good presentation. Mr. Kennedy, I think, already alluded to this, and I was intrigued by the open space and the fact that this development will have twice the requirement. I understand maybe some of that has to do with environmental regulations that are on the property. I guess my question is, will much of this open space lend itself to recreational, or will some of it, because of environmental regulations, stymie or hinder what you could use it for?
I think some passive recreation, so walking, jogging, that kind of activity. And again, there is the greenway on the north side for that same type of activity.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else?
All right, any members of the, any representatives of the applicant have any testimony to give on the subdivision plan?
Marty Bizzle, Bassix and Kennedy, 6310 Chapel Hill Road, here on behalf of MI Homes and the property owners, Mr. and Mrs. Zora. Stacy did an excellent job presenting this this subdivision. I just want to make a couple points. It's very unusual that you get to work with a developer who goes to you and identifies trees that they want to save above and beyond what the ordinances require. This developer saw, and those large circles that Stacy alluded to are 40 and some 50-inch red oaks that are just absolutely beautiful. We had actually performed a layout before we went out and surveyed those trees. Once we found what they were, what was actually out there, they asked us to go take out lots and preserve those. So that, in addition to the environmental constraints, wetlands, floodplains, buffers, is one reason that we're at 51% in open space. Some of that was actually voluntary, which is very nice to work with a developer who sees the value in those. So some of those areas will be used for an amenity, outdoor amenity areas that was mentioned earlier in the rezoning conditions. We will be actually not just constructing, or not just dedicating the greenway easement, we will actually be constructing that greenway that Stacy mentioned earlier. So we do provide some areas for amenities and some uses for the open space, but you are correct. A lot of environmental rules will prohibit a lot of that. But one other thing I would just touch on is that the improvements that are shown are directly related to the recommendations from the traffic study, the turn lanes, the improvements on Bryan Road, and the construction of Ackerman. Those turn lanes, we've actually met with NCDOT as well as the town, and they are actually in agreement with those as well. We did hold a neighborhood meeting back, I believe it was on December 6th, I'd say probably 15 property owners that came out. A very productive conversation with those. And I think we answered the questions, or at least attempted to answer those questions satisfactorily. So, but I am here for any questions that you might have.
So one curiosity question, I guess I would call it. What essentially is the length of that greenway that's going to be installed there, if you know it?
That is an excellent question that I probably don't have the answer for.
It's okay, yeah.
It's a lot.
It appears to be a pretty good.
But the intent, as we have proposed, is to actually construct it as well.
Yeah. On the greenways, we have some here in Garner. I hope we have some, get some more. This would be in addition to it, I guess. Thank you. Wallerville.
I believe we can close the hearing now, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, I will close the public hearing. Call for a motion.
The motion is made. Let me make one comment here on this zoning motion worksheet that you have in your package. If you proceed under either number one or number three, you need to make the findings on page two there, not just if you go into three.
Are you ready?
I'm going to try that again.
Yeah.
We've got a worksheet.
We've got a worksheet that has certain findings on page two that are under number three. If you proceed under one, you should make those same findings whether you proceed under number one or number three.
Are we going by this handout? And on page two.
Your items
item
on page
number
two.
Three.
You see what I'm talking about, Ronnie?
No, not yet.
Is there a motion off number one and number three? You have to go down and put those in. The ones I had to add on,
I forgot about it.
There's an optional under three, and inadvertently there's under three here.
I'm prepared to make a motion on the rezoning. I may ask the assistance of the attorney if we have to go beyond the wording here. You can guide me, but I'm going to move that the town council accept staff's recommendation regarding zoning consistent with a comprehensive growth plan detailed in section 5 of this report as our own, and therefore move further that the town council accept the recommendation of the planning commission adopt ordinance number, and I don't have that number, approving rezoning
2019-3944.
Ordinarily, I would think that that would be sufficient, but Mr. Attorney, did you say there had to be something?
There's on page two, and you need to pick and choose one or two or three of those findings to support the zoning.
And that it will allow the development of an appropriate density of housing in the area in which it's located. That's the first one that comes to mind. Do we have to add any others?
Yep. This one of this in particular, it provides for the redevelopment of an area that's previously been dependent upon on-site water and septic tanks. That's a big deal.
So with those two conditions, does that satisfy the motion for rezoning?
Read the little short paragraph at the bottom of that, below those items. And therefore, I move.
Oh, yeah, okay. I'm sorry. Therefore, I move the town council adopt ordinance number. I didn't write it down.
1939-44.
Rezoning request CUD V-1809. And so doing, also amend the town comprehensive growth plan from designating a subject property as office center to, and that would be what? No, that's from the other case there. Just leave that other part about the growth plan.
Okay.
Go back and clean it up then.
Hey, clean it up.
We go back to item number one, consistent with the comp plan and approved. Staff, you're going to have to help us out. We know what we want to say, but we need to say it the right way, and this is we could use some help.
Then add the provision that's
item number one,
and the item
one,
and the item about replacing the septic tank.
And then there's one item on the list that deals with housing and density. So.
This is what we start over and to redo it. I'll be glad to. I got it.
All
right. Item one, find consistent with the comprehensive growth plan and approve. I move the town council accept staff statements regarding rezoning consistency with the comprehensive growth plan detailed in section four of this report as our own. Therefore, I move further that the town council accept the recommendation of the planning commission adopt ordinance 2019-3944 approving the rezoning request CUDZ 18-11, and it is reasonable in the public interest because it will likely allow the development of an appropriate density of housing in the area which is located, and two, it will replace septic systems and wells for water with both public water and public sewer. That's satisfactory, Mr. Kennedy.
Sounds good to me.
Therefore, I move further the town council adopt ordinance 2019-3944 approving your zoning request, CUDZ
1811. Second. A motion and second. All in favor? Vote by saying aye. All opposed. You don't know we need two motions.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That's CUP. I think we can do that.
I'll get a little easier.
Let's go to page 47. All right. Be there in a second, folks. All righty. I've moved. Then we approve CUP SB 18. Wrong. Sorry.
This is
Mr. Kennedy. This is
not. Hey, I'm gonna help you.
It's in that same, the longer report that you have, and it's okay. Towards the back. Yeah, it's like the next to the last page.
In our agenda here on the computer, it has the Brown Road subdivision, but it has the Minglewood Townhome CUD permit number and says Minglewood Townhome. Right.
Yeah, that's one reason we printed that out.
Yes, gotcha.
Look it up. I move the council to accept staff requirements regarding plan consistency and section 7 of this report is our own and find application meets the 10 permit criteria in section 314D. Therefore, approve CUP SB 1808, the Aurora subdivision, with the three standard conditions and the four site-specific conditions to be listed on the permit that will be prepared by staff.
Second that motion. Other discussion? All in favor, vote by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion carries. I feel right about what we've done so far. Okay, we're moving on to new and old business. Committee reports.
Mr. Mayor, only two standard reports, your Garner info and your building permit report. I don't have anything further than that. If you have any questions, we'll be glad to answer those.
Mr. Attorney, you have anything?
No, sir.
Council reports.
Okay, Mr. Mayor, I think it'll be fairly brief. I'd like to remind my fellow council members that the Martin Luther King Committee, which meets regularly and usually plans the celebration each year and does some other things, invites all of the council members to the celebration commemoration of Dr. Martin Luther King on January the 20th at 4 p.m. at the Garner Performing Arts Center. So that's one thing I wanted to mention. I don't usually like to make comments just off the top as a result of something that's just happened without thinking it through, but I'm wondering if John or Jeff or somebody, I'm not sure what my problem is. I thought I used to know how to make motions here, but it seems to me that maybe I need a remedial course, or the way these things are laid out, is there a way to lay it out easier?
We need a refresher.
I think so. I would appreciate maybe a methodology that's that we can work with. Be happy to sit down with you and talk with you further about it.
Mr. Triesenberg and I are engaged in that discussion at the present time.
Good. Okay. I think that would be very helpful. And in an appropriate time, Mr. Mayor, maybe now's the time, I would like to again make note of the death of our colleague, Mr. Johns, and make a few comments about that, but I'll defer.
Let me get it started. All right.
Okay. I would just say that the passing of Mr. Johns came somewhat as a shock to me, in spite of the fact that I knew he had had health problems. In thinking about him and the length of time that he served compared to the time that I've been on the council, I really appreciate his desire to serve this town and the public. I always felt he was kind of a gentle man who always cared about others a lot, expressed that. One of the things I remember about him is the fact that some years ago, when he was in much better health, he was quite a walker. And I would see him walking in a lot of different areas in and around Garner. And I was amazed that even then, at the age he was, that that was a form of exercise that I admired him for. I must say that all the conversations I've had with him more recent have been very pleasant. He was always encouraging when I went to see him. I don't think I ever heard him say anything negative about anybody. Perhaps he did, but he'll be missed. I appreciate his kind spirit, his moral stance, and his Christian faith that he didn't hide in any way. And he'll just be a person we'll miss. Thank you.
Well, before I talk about Jackie, I just have a quick question. Back in, I believe it was November, when we had the developer come to us and present an application for the townhome project over on East Garner Road, I asked them at the council meeting that night when they intended to start, and they said 1st of December. Do we have any updates? Because nothing at all is going on that piece of property. Do we know anything?
Which piece was that, Kathy?
The townhouse on Garner Road.
Townhouse project on East Garner Road near Jones Sausage beside the Jurgen property. I asked the developer that evening when they intended to start, and he said as soon as possible, 1st of December. And there's nothing happening.
Well, we did have a really, really, really wet December, so that might have slowed them down. I would say that. And they may not. I know they were trying to work on getting an easement for their pump station, so they may be trying to work that out also. They noted that when we approved the application.
Will they communicate with planning about that at any point, or will we ask them questions, or what will be the process?
One thing that they have communicated is the formal request for, is a verbal request for the easement. And right now that's yet to be decided who's going to sign the easement.
They also need to go through the construction document approval process. So that usually takes 60 to 90 days with both engineering and the city of Raleigh. So I wouldn't expect to necessarily hear anything from them until then. So that they may have just been more or less conveying their enthusiasm for getting started as soon as possible, but there is kind of a 2 to 3 month process.
That's what I was looking for, is what should we expect?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. And with regard to Mr. Johns, I have sat beside him for 13 years on the council, and it's quite a shock and just a very strange feeling to look over and see that he's not here. He won't be there again, but his service to the town will not be forgotten. Not many people like him, no one like him, and I don't really have words to express the sadness and the disappointment. It was a normal and natural process, but a very sad one, and he will be missed.
Great.
Yes, one, we have the pavement condition survey that's been going on. I know no one's from your engineering. Do you know the status of the pavement condition survey? I hope to get that done because we wanted to get roads approved so we could get a contract out for repaving that as soon as possible this year. So I wouldn't know what we know on that.
I know there's a meeting scheduled with the consultant on, I believe it's the 14th. Of January, within about a week for them to deliver the results to staff. So it is in progress, and we'll bring it to you as soon as we can.
Okay, that's one item. Item two, this is a strong suggestion I would make about cleaning up what needs to be done. I would make a separate document in real good letters that says this is, and not include the rest of the agenda stuff, CED, rezoning, condition, site plan, motions. That way we can all find it, and we're not doing this and this and this and this. I know where it is. I understand it. I know where it is. I know where it is on here. But to make it easier for everyone, because I'm big red letters, and that's the only thing that's in that document, so when we turn to 2 or 3 pages, it's all right there, and it's not tied up and mixed in with other things. It's just a strong suggestion. Make it clean and easy. And you could highlight the one that, well, you may not know what the motion of this. You couldn't do that. You could highlight the one in the site plan, because if it gets rezoned, then it's going to the site plan, it's going to be redone most likely, so you could do it in a highlighted color. Just a strong suggestion. And speaking about Mr. Johns, you know, it's interesting, we have this new document, that the popular annual financial report, and it has our picture in it, but it has a picture of my retreat in November, and there we are, and Mr. Johns sitting there, I'm beside him, the mayor on the other side of him, at our retreat just less than 2 months ago, where he was part of his 35 years of service. I like the comments today and the news release that Rick put out. It was in the News Observer. It was on Channel 5 tonight. The mayor made comments about Mr. John's faith. And I think we all can say that he had a strong faith. He went through some things in his life that were challenging. His wife and his younger son died within less than a year of one another, and that was challenging for him. And he said, turn it over to the master. That's what his faith believed, and that's what he said. And we heard him say it many times. And Mr. Johns can deliver a good prayer, let me tell you. He prayed here or prayed at his other events I attended with him. He has strong faith and he liked communicating to the Lord. And so I remember that. I remember what Mr. Marshall said about his walking. He loved to cross over Highway 70 and come up Montague, walk up down Main Street and to Vinewood Apartments and walk around over here around Oak Circle and Methodist Drive, around the Methodist Church and that building. If you want to catch Mr. John sometimes, all you got to do is ride up there and sit, and he'd walk by you, and you could talk to him. And I did it many times if I wanted to run him down. It's amazing. He served in the 70s, the 80s, and then from 1991 where he served now until he passed away. His name was on the plaque on the town hall that opened in 1973, and it's on the town hall that opened 2 years ago. So that says a lot about his service. And one thing I remember specifically, when my brother passed away back in 2007, in November and December, we were at the Public Works for Christmas dinner, and my father was talking with Mr. Johns. Mr. Johns had lost his son, and my father and Mr. Johns talked quite a while, talked about how tough it was losing a child. And Mr. Johns, I'll never forget, told him, he said, you'll learn to deal with it. You'll never get over it because it's part of you that's gone. He said, but you'll learn to deal with it, but it'll take a long time. because he'd experienced it. And I've never have forgotten those words. And again, that's part of his faith. So he served this town well for many years. And he's 81, but you wouldn't know by the way he could walk. Because before he got sick the last year, year and a half, when he had some health issues, for a 79 or 80-year-old man, he could get up and go. And was in reasonable good health until recently. So I remember his service. Again, that's a long time to serve. He and the mayor served about the same amount of time. I think he's got a couple years in the mayor, but they both served for many years. So remember Mr. Johns, and I'm sure that their staff said they'll get the funeral arrangements out as soon as we're here.
On issues of some, hopefully that they are worthwhile, the discussion tonight on the Minglewood townhomes and then the previous conversations we've had, and I think some people have mentioned this item to the manager, would it be in appropriate to consider a crosswalk from Heather Woods across the street to the Y, because we've added another group of residents that will be up and down the sidewalk.
That's already in process. I requested that several months ago, and they're working on it right now.
At the Y?
It would be between Old Scarborough and Minglewood. That would cross over at the Y. It would not. Yes.
Okay.
That's where they proposed it, and I talked to Jonathan and Hip about it both, and they said that we'd have to pay for it, but that there's some improvements that would have to be made. But yes, that's being designed or drawn up or thought about or something. Right here.
That's correct. We initially sent DOT right at the entrance of Heatherwoods, the crossing there, but DOT responded and they said they would prefer something that actually connects directly at the Y and a little bit more mid-block. So it'll be, I think we've sent them a preliminary design back. And we're just waiting to find out from DOT if that is okay or if they need actual engineering design level to approve that.
The specific location is as long as it gets them across the street.
Yeah.
Number two, we council members receive emails and notices and invitations and public hearings or public meetings, I should say, all related to a general discussion of housing, and particularly affordable housing. And with some of them, you get the feeling that if we're I don't even feel qualified to have a discussion on the subject. Could we? Instead of us, could we get schooled at a work session sometimes, or have some discussion on affordable housing, so that we get questions from time to time on the street, and then from the organizations that are really pushing this agenda, particularly with the county commissioners, so that we can play offense instead of playing defense. I feel like I would. And I wouldn't even play a good defense. I don't know how to take a charge. I just fall down, flop in the lane, as a metaphor. But I'm sure we've had this discussion before, and maybe it's me and what I forget about it. But I see the consistency of constant issues about affordable housing, and it seems like some of them are directed at Garner. And I think that we can we have a good case to be able to state, and I'll leave it at that. If somebody could be glad to have that on a more informal setting, particularly at a work session sometimes, if you think it's appropriate.
We can kind of follow up and update the presentation we had two council retreats ago, and maybe engage some of the information that was provided by some of our partner agencies like Triangle J and Wake County, and bring some more up-to-date information to you.
Yeah, that'd be good. Also, the HR director, BD, sent out a notice recently about the incident command center training requirement?
Yes.
That it sounded like that we have to take that training as well. Is that correct?
That's correct. And it's just disaster preparedness, readiness, something I think a lot of us took a few years back, but it's been quite a while, and it basically just spells out the different roles and protocols in case of some disaster and kind of lets you know the command structure and what individual roles might be, what individual assignments might be, and where staff, certain staff members and emergency responders fit in, and how town council can play a role in the recovery and response to any type of disaster. So, yes.
Very good. Thank you. With respect to our fellow council member, Mr. Johns, the comments that you all made are from your heart, and they were well stated, and you've got a number of incidents that reflect on his character and what he meant to you as individually and then to the town. Above all, he was certainly a gentleman. He had one of his characteristics was he was a strong family man, and he referred to his deceased wife and often. But he could we'll always remember him by the dinner that he would provide in the spring that would draw a number of folks and a lot of dignitaries from across the region. Across Wake County, that had a lot of respect for him, and that, and then to everybody down the road within the community, if there's one thing they had was they had a lot of respect for him. So he will certainly be missed by us, and he will create a significant vacancy, and he'll leave some large shoes to be filled by someone that is of the character and temperament that he is. That he was. We'll miss him.
I want to remind everybody Thursday morning to prayer breakfast. Here's Jackie Johns. He was a polite man. He was courteous. He was friendly. He was a Christian. He had great character. He never heard, never said or heard a harsh word about anybody. If he walked into a bad conversation, he got the hell out. Jackie was my friend, and if he knew you, he was your friend. He was an advocate for all citizens. He was like a brother to me on some occasion. But if you needed somebody to stand with you, go get you out of jail or whatever, he's there for you. Rest your soul, Jackie. All ready?
Move, we adjourn.
Second. All in favor? They won't know the arrangements until about 11 o'clock in the morning. We'll get Rodney's.